Might be a tough one. I'm fucking shot today. But I think I got something that can get me worked up. I don't know if we should get into it now for the cold open or save it. I think you might know what I'm talking about.
No.
It has to do with the buffoon sitting to the right of us.
Okay, I was going to say, if it's about me, wait till I leave and talk about it.
Well, to the left of me.
Yeah, to the left of you, right of me. Right in the middle.
Into it? I don't know.
Bipartisan Ted. Well, I think it was we were going to talk about it anyway, but I don't know if I should save my bullets, but...
What's going on?
I don't know. I really don't know. I have no clue.
Oh, you have no clue? What about the 10 text messages I get every day of you telling me to retweet your goddamn poll?
Oh, well, you would think that... You would think a guy on the fucking channel would retweet something that...
We already retweeted off the main account.
Wait, guys.
We already retweeted off the main account.
Because now you're
getting
me hot.
Five texts a day to tell to retweet your pod, your poll.
You guys both didn't change your volume. You both looked at the screen and were like... No, that's all right.
Does he do the same thing to you?
I don't have to because he just does it.
You know we're in a group chat, right? So I get those same texts.
He texts me on the side.
He texts. Well, you know what? Why do you think I'm going to side with you here? Because I'm more on Ted's side.
Thank you.
But we retweeted from the main account. That's the account that
you have different followers than the main account, guy.
Oh, we have the same.
Aaron, this reasoning, first of all, is ridiculous. Don't you realize when accounts retweet their own tweets? People do that all the time.
But then everyone's retweeting. We're flooding the timeline. My timeline's precious.
You don't think
exactly.
Don't
want to
that's what
polls.
You want to do.
Your timeline's not precious. It's
to
you
me
complaining
it
about the Jets or
I
hockey.
I know. This guy wants to have one follower and have a million followers, and he wants to have one fucking tweet. Of like a blade of grass, and okay, guy, you get it. You're fucking.
I would have done it organically, but the fact that
okay,
you constantly pester me about it, it drives me insane, and I'm not going to do it anymore.
I don't want you to do it. Now I'm blocking you. You're blocked.
You can't block me.
You got yourself blocked.
I will if you didn't pester me at the beginning. Now it's just like fuck Teddy.
You're not doing it.
Oh, I'm better than the retweet. I'm too good for the retweet.
I like it, and people. I'll say, oh, look, Nerd Soup Aaron like this, and then they see the poll, and it's. I have a lot of problems with the poll. To begin with.
Is this because of my election tweet that went viral?
He's
no.
Jelly.
I think he's a little off.
I've gotten up there before.
I think you're a little jealous.
He's a slug right now.
You
have salt all over him.
I sent him the tweet, right? And it's already got like 300 retweets. Like maybe 2,000 likes. Something like that. Doesn't even like it or retweet it.
I retweeted it.
Didn't even respond to my text.
That was
hilarious. And also, both of you. If I don't respond to a text, it's like I'm deading you when, you know, I'm busy too. I have things to do. I'm a busy man.
Both of us know you're on your phone more than anyone in here.
It does piss me off with both of you because I know you both live on your phones.
And you too. Oh, retweet the thing. Retweet this. Retweet that.
Yours, at least yours. Let yours run for like 2 hours before you say something.
It was immediately after. Sorry I'm not on my phone. Smashing the retweet button all day. And your poll, by the way.
I realize
your bracket driving me insane too. The matchups are ridiculous.
You do need to lower your voice.
I've been worked up about this. We've been gone for 2 weeks, so it's been building up in me. A lot's happened since the last podcast, by the way.
I'm
going
to refer you to my pin.
We have a new president, and it's just so much going on. And Teddy...
If you check my Twitter, I have a pinned tweet of the bracket, and there's a caption specifically saying that I didn't make the bracket. I didn't make the matchups or the seeds. So
you
should have put
some effort, elbow grease into the bracket.
It's the top 64 movies of the decade. What are you going to do, matchups?
Yeah.
How is he going to decide that?
You can
so he's the ultimate decider of the one seed and the
16
seed?
You develop an algorithm based on Rotten Tomato and IMDb scores, and you bracket out that way.
Yeah, build an algorithm, Aaron. Go ahead. You guys try and open Photoshop. You get a brain aneurysm.
I have pretty good Photoshop.
You know, I'm still paying for it.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I'm still paying for that subscription. I never canceled it.
Well, Teddy, I mean, you with technology, I don't know. I guess it's because we've been off for 2 weeks that we just have to air our grievances on the podcast.
I haven't been on a pod in a while.
But the way that you guys get intimidated by technology is...
You guys
are going to be screwed in the robo-apocalypse.
Well, you're no better. You just cut corners on the technology. You don't figure out the problem. You just like make more problems fixing one problem.
Yeah, I'm an elbow greaser. I'm self-taught.
You're Tin Man. You're just fixing
Tin Man, he doesn't have the heart?
No, he needs oil. The lion doesn't have the heart. He's scared.
Tin Man doesn't have the brain. If only had a brain... Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. I am Bo Oliver, joined here today by Aaron, the Nerd Soup Monkey, and Teddy, and we are back for another episode of the Nerd Soup Podcast. We've been out for a couple of weeks here. Teddy was exposed to COVID, so he responsibly quarantined, and I had a couple of back injuries, two herniated discs in my back, so I'm going to be starting physical therapy soon, and Aaron is just, you know, he's just always in a bad mood, so we're all on the same level here, and we're back to talk about the world of movies, TV, video games. We have stories to talk about all across the board.
Yeah, we do.
And, of course, you can listen to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. We should be on Pandora by now. I haven't been checking. And possibly YouTube. I don't know.
So do you actually put it on Pandora?
Embracing technology here, most antiquated music app of all time. Worrying about it, keeping you up at night.
Huh?
You heard me.
I truly don't even know what... Can you explain to me what he just said?
Your obsession with Pandora is ridiculous.
It's just like a joke. It's like a bit.
It's a running joke we have on the pod.
Yeah.
The Nerd Soup
podcast.
It's
not a real personal feeling. Like and subscribe. I've never used Pandora.
You left the email up on my laptop. I see you messaging them every day for the past 3 months.
First of all, you leave your email up all the time.
Yeah, nothing to hide.
I'll say, as a man of honor, I've never looked at it.
Yeah, right.
Although your Brazzers account is running up, so you might want to renew that.
I use Nash's.
Oh, okay.
I need to get that.
All right, well, first story of today, I think it's appropriate that we talk about this story first, right? It's going to probably be the title of the podcast.
What?
Wonder Woman coming to HBO Max and theaters on December 25th.
I fuck with that.
Came out with the press release last night.
I thought we were going to lead with the BOFA news.
BOFA?
Yeah. You don't know about BOFA?
No.
BOFA these nuts.
Well, you want to talk about your nuts? How are they? Shave them recently? How are they looking? Sometimes one droops more than the other. Are they still even?
I'm a lefty.
Okay.
You should use Manscaped. Today's sponsor.
Well, you do have to do an ad read later, if you don't mind.
I'm not doing it live, right? Like, you're going to cut the pod and then...
No, yeah, it's going to be chopped up.
All right.
No, you're doing it live. Get ready. I sent you the script. Look at your phone. All right, so Wonder Woman, December 25th, coming to HBO Max. The death of theaters. Who would have thought Wonder Woman's supposed to be a hero? Not very heroic. Killing movie theaters.
That was an interesting move that they're just going to drop them both at the same time. I don't know anybody who would risk going to...
I feel like you're
to...
ready for a nap after that that cold opening. How are you not exhausted right now?
I was exhausted. That perked me back up a little. Now
that's
why
you
do
have the coffee.
And I got the dark roast. Yeah, you got the coffee. So that's just going to make me shake uncontrollably and just be dead
you're
in my head.
You're not drinking
the
whole thing anyway.
Want to bet?
I'll put my life on it that you don't finish it.
I feel like with all that caffeine in you, if we get you really mad, you might start crying. Hashtag make Aaron cry.
I need a good cry. I haven't cried in a while.
That's my cousin Manny the other day. He's like, I haven't cried in 14 years.
That's a little absurd.
I don't think he's
it's
lying.
It's like Seinfeld not throwing up.
That is one of the funniest episodes.
What is, why
ever.
Can't, like, I think we've moved ahead as a society, but I feel like guys still can't cry without people going up in arms.
No, yeah, it is.
See what happens. Harry Styles just wore a dress and people are about to kill themselves. Imagine if, like, he started crying too. Dude, it's ridiculous.
I cried today.
I feel like Ben Shapiro should just come to our high school reunion if he feels like we're running out of meatheads. Like, there's no more manly men. What the fuck are you people talking about? Seriously.
Why does anybody care?
It's funny because actually it used to be a trend. They had that picture of FDR wearing the dress as a little boy.
That was a blanket. He had polio.
That was him, right?
Yeah, it was him, actually. Or it may have been Teddy. I'm not sure. And that was the trend, that little boys used to grow out their hair, wear dresses.
I think you have to
be fit. You have to have a Harry Styles type
See,
body.
That's why I wouldn't wear a dress, is because I think I would just look disgusting in it.
Yeah.
I'm hairy. Hairy. But I do feel like it would be comfortable.
Skirt, nice skirt.
Nice little flowing.
A lot of rappers wore dresses too, haven't they?
Young Thug rocked the dress on his albums. Yeah.
Dennis Rodman.
The Scottish bagpipe players wearing the kilts.
I'll kill a kilt.
Yeah, the kilt is very fashionable, I think. But Wonder Woman coming to HBO Max and theaters, a lot of people were upset. A lot of people were excited because you're going to be able to wake up on Christmas morning if you have HBO Max.
Well, I think it makes, to all my fellow people who celebrate Hanukkah, not Christmas. I do both, not a big deal. Double the presents. But it's like, they're probably wondering, it's like, oh, I can't go to the Christmas movie this year. Now it's going to be right on your HBO Max subscription.
Yeah.
Well,
what person in their right mind would go watch that in a theater, though, if they're going to release it at the same time? If they staggered it a month, I would probably go, but now I'm just, I'll just watch it at home.
Well, I think they're anticipating people aren't going to theaters in December.
Well, they're open.
That we're going to be living in a much different world in December, because it looks like we're going back into the direction of theaters closing down, restaurants closing down. Who knows?
And they just shut gyms in the city.
Right. They just shut down schools as well in the city, gyms in the city, and we'll see if we'll follow those trends. But, yeah, I mean, I guess when you look at it.
A bunch of out-of-shape dummies. No school, no gym.
Yeah, that's what our society, it's Wally. Yeah, we're just going to be fat and stupid.
Were you a Christmas Day movie guy?
Yeah.
Were, right?
Last three.
Well ahead of that trend.
I've done it a few times over the years. Over the last, I
was
think.
Last year was Uncut Gems, right? I think you asked me to go see it with you.
No, last year, we still have Vice. No, that was
two years ago. Vice. No, I think it was last year.
No, Vice was Thanksgiving.
It was Uncut Gems.
I'm not sure what I saw last Christmas. I'll check my Fandango. But yeah, no, it's always fun to go to the movies on Christmas. You do it early in the day, in the morning, and then you get home, and it's Christmas dinner, you know? The family's over. Because we always do Christmas at my house. So it's nice. Like, nice little 10-minute drive. But this will be fun to wake up to and watch on Christmas Day. And like I said, I think they're anticipating that people aren't going to want to see this in theaters anyway. HBO Max is a relatively new streaming service. With this movie, maybe they'll bring in some more viewers. I think Mulan was a huge success for Disney Plus, right?
But I'm surprised they're not doing the surcharge. I would have paid to see Wonder Woman if it was just HBO Max.
I think
Max.
I would have paid too, yeah.
Well, they're doing it. I think they're doing it strictly for people who don't have HBO Max and don't want to pay for the subscription.
Say that again?
I think they're doing it strictly for people who don't have HBO Max and don't want to pay for the subscription, but want to see the movie, obviously.
But you can get the free month, and even, first of all, 1 month, if you have to pay, it's less than a movie ticket. So if you wanted to finesse the system, either sign up for the free trial, or if you already use your trial, pay for it for 1 month.
Give somebody a day out? I don't know. I'm stuck in their houses.
Yeah, but it's not really the best time to be out frolicking around.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just...
That's why you got exposed to COVID in the first place and put us all our lives in danger.
I didn't put your lives in danger. I stayed home.
Yeah, that is true. He didn't put our lives in danger. He was exposed.
I'll kiss you right now.
Yeah, and I think with movie theaters, listen, maybe it is inevitable that they're going to die, but this was a problem in the making. This isn't something new. We've known about lagging attendance for movie theaters for years now.
Oh, yeah, it's been
and
happening.
And they've been very slow to really combat these figures.
Is that a Yoda mask?
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
Yeah, Baby Yoda.
Is it baby or regular?
No, it's baby. He kind of looks weird. It's always tough when you make a human-sized Baby Yoda mask, because...
Put it on.
Movie theaters. let's all focus
you know,
here.
What's sad is that there was really nothing they can do to stop this train, because with the rise of subscriptions and different networks moving to streaming services, there was nothing they could do, and it was going to happen. This just accelerated the process, and it's sad to see.
The pandemic has.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the thing. They didn't make enough efforts to combat this.
What would you do, though? What can you do?
You have to shake it up. I mean, well, or you can do...
It's not that expensive for a movie ticket. $13, $14.
People weren't going, though.
Well, I know. I'm saying, what can you do to fix that problem before pandemic? Lower prices? Which, like I said, they weren't that expensive. I mean, what the hell are you going to do? Giveaways?
For a family of four, though, if you're going by yourself, yeah. I mean, also concessions are a big deterrent. I think that people would just, especially with Netflix and HBO and all these other streaming services, introducing a ton of movies that normal people haven't seen before. For us, I mean, it's like, oh, a new movie I haven't seen. I don't have to like flip through Netflix to try to find something that I have never seen. For normal people, it's like, there's all these movies that I can experience for the first time in the comfort of my own home. Why am I going to go spend $100 in a movie theater when that movie's probably going to be available to me at home in two months? So it's just, I don't know, what a convenient society things are moving towards with technology, more convenience. So people just don't want to go out of their way to do something, especially when they can do that from the comfort of their own couch.
Right, and what they could have done was more subscription services for going to the movies, alcohol, food, make it more of an event.
Yeah, but then that ups the price, and then...
It doesn't up the price. I mean, if you want to buy alcohol, sure, but maybe that will be more inviting for certain people if it has more of a bar and chill atmosphere where you can sit back, drink a couple drinks with your friends, and then go see the movie.
That's where we're headed towards now, I think. Maybe that's going to be the new life of movie theaters.
Especially with the subscription services, you would think that would help, but they only market that to people who are already going to the movies.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything about Regal Unlimited other than sitting in a Regal theater.
Right.
So
yeah, it's just for people that are already there.
If they marketed it to a wider audience, maybe get the casual people who see one or two movies a year to get the subscription.
Yeah, family plans for families. It's like, hey, you guys want to come to the movies every Friday night? There are ways to get around this. There are ways to get more people. I mean, maybe there's just not. Maybe it is just inevitable. And like we've been saying for months, this whole situation has just kind of sped it up.
Just do MoviePass, but don't go bankrupt.
That's the thing. I like the theater experience, but yeah, right.
That's the idea.
I love the theater experience, but I think it is just inevitable that this is where we're moving towards. And I've been saying it time and time again. What you're able to do on television, on streaming, that you can have these really nuanced and complex stories that maybe people wouldn't go out and watch a movie of, but they'll sit down and watch 8 hours of The Queen's Gambit. You know, if The Queen's Gambit was a movie that came out, critically acclaimed movie, who wants to go see the chess movie? But if you're sitting at home and you're watching Netflix and you see this, oh, everyone's been talking about this, let me check it out.
You're more inclined to watch it at home.
Yeah, it is kind of like bittersweet because like we saw with Game of Thrones, you know, that show is very complex. It's very deep, and it took over the world. So I don't know. It's I don't know where I stand on all this. I don't know if Warner Brothers made the wrong decision here for movie theaters, but they made the right decision for HBO Max.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to be a loss because we'll never really get those numbers.
But I mean, they've got so many people on the corporate side that probably crunched the numbers over and over again, and they probably figured we're probably going to take a big hit regardless. So what's something that can help maximize all our potential profits and maybe push something else and promote our streaming service and try to make some of that money back that way?
You think Dune's going to come out on streaming?
No, I think...
They can't. I don't know. That would suck to
Well, it is pushed until next December, right?
But even Dune, that's not like... I feel like Wonder Woman has much more appeal to casual viewers than Dune.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's something that I think families and people who probably didn't even want to see it to begin with, be like, oh, look, the new Wonder Woman movie's here for free. Then you can sit down on Christmas while...
You know that theater in the city that we went to?
Passed out in a corner, everyone's full and tired. Just throw on Wonder Woman.
Yeah, then throw on NBA basketball.
You know the theater we went to in the city? That we got, like, fed there and...
Yeah.
Is that really... That,
the Alamo?
Yeah. I think that's going to be the movie theaters from now on.
I hope so. I hope enough of them are able to stay in business where after a vaccine comes out and after we get back to normal society, no more social distancing where you don't have to really worry about those things, that movie theaters are able to just rebrand themselves as those sort of movie theaters / restaurant / bar.
You think drive-ins make it back? I know they have them here and there, but you think those make it back to like how people watch movies now?
No.
It's more of like a... It's like a niche gimmick thing. Yeah, okay.
It's fun to go out on like a date.
Right.
Like you and Elena did the Back to the Future.
Yeah.
And I'm sure maybe if somebody created like an app, like the drive-in app where, you know, they come pick you up and they bring you and everyone's bringing you fucking goodies and shit to your car and I don't know.
Have you looked into the theater rental at all?
That sounds actually cool. Mm-hmm. I think I would do the theater rental.
I was looking into it. The new releases for AMC are like $350, and there's nothing good out that I would even think about shelling that out. But $100 for some classics, I think AMC doesn't have a great selection.
You get the whole theater, right? And you can bring anyone?
Yeah, Showcase, 20 people. Showcase has a good selection of some classics. I think they have a Tarantino
list you can
pick from. They have a few classics. But AMC just has the new movies that...
Bringing
like
parties back?
Nothing...
to the theater?
Nothing's appealing there. And then they have, like, all Christmas movies.
Yeah, we all eat pizza in that little room.
Yeah.
And then we go and watch the movie. Bring a nice little goodie bag.
They need to bring back the concession stand that's always empty.
Yeah,
facts, bro. I've never seen
the one after you give the ticket.
Yeah.
I don't know why they stopped.
I don't know why it was even made to begin with.
I know. It's just sitting there.
In case they ever get completely mobbed. I think...
Yeah, they also do have it open sometimes when the theater is... Yeah.
I also think, you know how everyone always says that these overpaid actors and athletes should be paid less money? I think we're...
Not athletes, actors.
Well, I'm just saying
overpaid.
People... Everyone... No, I'm saying people always say that they're overpaid.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be in the era where we actually see that happen, where actors and actresses are taking pay cuts now. Because how much can they possibly make on streaming rather than...
that's the thing. You'll never see... you'll see like the salaries with the Game of Thrones actors where it got up to $2 million per episode, but that was the very end after the show was already gigantic. So I think Charlie Sheen almost made $2 million an episode when Two and a Half Men got really big.
Wow.
But you'll never see like $20 million for a series.
Yeah.
Like The Rock doing a miniseries is not going to get $20
million. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Fincher just signed a Netflix deal, so a lot of directors are... The most prominent directors are moving towards the Netflix model, so...
Should we transition to Fincher?
You're going to have to get big name... You think Fincher is going to attract big name actors and actresses, and that's another thing with Netflix. I don't know how they make money or if they make a profit, but they seem to be shelling it out, so...
When I said, are we going to transition to Fisher, and you were like, you're going to have to...
I
thought that's what you were going
to say.
You're going to have to. Might as well. If it's not second on the list, it is now.
I do want to see Mank, but I think it's out this weekend, but it's going to be on Netflix in a week, so I'm just going to wait.
Yeah, I'll probably
They're
wait.
Shooting themselves in the foot with this. I mean, it's good for us, the viewer, but monetarily, it's
I can't imagine that a lot of people are going to theaters, though. I think they just don't, like, they're not making it.
They're just doing it just to do it?
There's nothing good out. I would go. If Mank was going to be on Netflix next month instead of next week, I would probably see Mank, but...
They're paying money to have it in the theater, right? Or is that, like, built into, like, their contract, I guess, when, like, they make the movie? It's like, this. We're going to put this much money towards putting it
no,
to the theater?
No, I think
they pay for distribution, but the theaters and the studios split it, I believe.
So if they're losing money putting it in the theater, then it makes no sense. If they're not losing money, then, you know, just put it in the theater and see what happens, I think.
Well, that's the thing. Mank can't be a movie. I wonder what was the budget for Mank. I would assume it's like maybe $25 million, maybe like 30. And I doubt it's getting a worldwide release. It's probably like a limited release anyway.
Yeah.
So even in normal times, I can't imagine that Mank would be such a box office hit. And it is a Netflix movie, right? Yeah, yeah, Fincher.
Well, Citizen Kane is very hot in the streets with the young folks, so.
I mean, if it does well in normal times, it's an Oscar bait movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see it.
No, yeah, I'm very excited.
I don't really care for Citizen Kane too much. I rewatched it recently just to have it fresher in my mind when I go see Mank. Just to
20
like,
to 30 million.
Catch all the Easter eggs and stuff like that, but.
How much?
20 to 30 million.
I'm just really good at that, huh?
Yeah, you are.
That is like Mike's only talent.
I'm just upset that they gave him a 5-year deal at Netflix or a 5-movie deal, and they just told him to go scratch on Mindhunter.
Yeah, I wonder if there's more to that.
Well, he said no one like watched it.
Okay. Well, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mindhunter is a show that...
And that's they finally released, like, well, they always have pretty good shows, but they released a fucking one of the better shows yeah. of the past 5 years, and still no one watches it.
Well, I don't think that they've done great marketing for Mindhunter. When those seasons drop, you don't really see a marketing push. And it's also, I don't know, it shouldn't be that hard to sell when you're going after serial killers, and some of them very famous.
I mean, True Crime is hot right now, too. I feel like everyone's doing
it. Yeah,
True
that's
Crime.
The thing, and it was so critically acclaimed. It is Fincher. It is on Netflix. I don't know.
I've been watching Criminal Minds recently as my, like, turn off the brain.
Bro,
television.
So is Elena, dude. She's obsessed with Criminal Minds
it's
right now.
So good. But it's, like,
who's
pretty,
the stud?
Pretty not good, but it's, like...
Shamir Moore?
Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He is the worst on Instagram. Have you ever seen that video where he's got, like, the hat onto his side?
He knows what he's doing.
He's like, I'm living. I'm getting money.
I like to
I'm
shit on
silly.
People like that, but I
I'm
couldn't,
happy.
I couldn't say if I had a body like that, I wouldn't be any different.
That's too much, man. Like, I respect Michael B. Jordan. Where, like, Michael B. Jordan knows that he's a beautiful man, but he's also cool. He's laid back. He watches anime. He does.
Does he?
He's a big anime fan.
That's your criteria for
you
being
think
cool
Shamir
and laid
Moore,
back?
You think Shamir Moore watches anime?
No way.
Yeah. That man's like, anime watches me. He's one of those. Michael B. Jordan named Sexiest Man Alive. Finally, someone who's actually sexy, right?
Well, my boy,
2 years in a row,
Steve Kornacki was in one of the sexiest people alive right now. So,
well,
I
what
didn't see,
I think
I didn't see
those,
King on that list.
Those, what are the pants that he wears?
The khakis?
Yeah, yeah, the khakis. Those khakis that he was wearing, they've been spiking at the Gap, apparently. The Steve Kornacki khakis.
Mm.
Yeah, boy.
Idris Elba got a sexiest man alive.
Yeah, I'm saying that 2 years in a row, they finally got it right after they did Blake Shelton and everyone freaked out.
Well, yeah, that was undeserving. I'm not going to lie. I love Blake Shelton, but come on.
I think sexiest John F. Kennedy Jr. got sexy.
He did.
Alive
I was just looking at the names.
So
I'm surprised they didn't do it like, it's like Time would do something like, you know, Person of the Year, The Doctors.
I hate that. Yeah, that's the worst.
They
should have
done that for sexiest person of the Year.
Oh, Essential Workers.
Just like a fucking
just Johnny
Hulk
Sins.
With a FedEx box.
I don't know what I would do if I looked like one of these guys.
A sexy doctor.
Yeah.
Waitress. Well, no. Restaurants were shut down. What are the other essential workers?
Richard Gere is gross, actually.
Okay, let's move on to David Fincher. Well, we're talking about Mank, obviously his Netflix deal, and I guess you guys wanted to talk about that article. I guess some of his thoughts on cinema today.
I mean, I looked up the article.
Okay.
And
you didn't read it.
No, I figured you guys were going to read that. That was like a 20-page article, man.
Yeah, I mean, to paraphrase, the big story that came out of it was when he kind of criticized the state of cinema today, that most of it's just, as many directors have said in the past, it's just mindless junk. And then the other, he's like 80% of it's mindless junk. I'm paraphrasing here. I really don't remember. And 20% is just Oscar bait. I can understand being frustrated by this.
He didn't leave any wiggle room.
Right. Well, then he also made the comments about Joker that... Well, I think...
that was misconstrued.
Yeah, it was way misconstrued.
He was saying that the movie was about the mistreatment of
mentally
ill. The movie itself didn't misrepresent...
Yeah, the quote, the headline was that it's a betrayal of the mentally
yes,
ill.
Yes, yes.
And he says in the movie that he is betrayed as someone who is mentally ill. He is betrayed by society.
Yeah, Arthur Fleck character.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like the movie just was this.
Right, and Joker is a very divisive movie. I like it. But I think there are legitimate criticisms of some of the betrayals in that film. But the big thing was him just taking the shot at the state of cinema. And hey, I mean, That's what Hollywood is. Yeah. I mean, like I said, you could be frustrated about that and you can voice your opinions, but you're not really breaking news here. We all know this.
I always get like, I'm always torn. It's like when Scorsese or Fincher and these prestige, the best directors working today, directors I love, take these shots at probably, he didn't say it outright, but the Marvel movies, the big budget, he's Transformers, Michael Bay's. But like, those are the movies keeping theaters alive by the slightest thread. And I get what he's saying, and I don't think he's necessarily talking shit about any of like those movies in particular, but those are the ones that get the most attention, the most marketed, but that's what the general audience wants to see, and that's proven by box office numbers. So I do wish that, you know, the Manx of the world or the Favorites and some of these movies that get overlooked were making $1 billion instead of Hobbs and Shaw. Jurassic World 2.
Right.
I think that's...
Yeah.
But, you know, society, we just sometimes, you know, give me the dinosaur movie. That's the movie I'm going to spend money to see on the big screen.
There's a line in the movie 8 1/2 where an art critic says that film is 100 years behind all the other art forms. And I always think about that quote when directors complain about the state of cinema. But when it's Scorsese complaining about it, it's like, dude, you're best friends with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. How do you think he got to this point?
He makes blockbusters.
but like Steven Spielberg created the blockbuster. I mean, he's been criticized his entire life by other filmmakers as someone who cheapened film, as someone who created and ushered in this new wave of making movies just for profit. And you can argue that a lot of Steven Spielberg's blockbusters are very smart and clever, and that they're probably better than the blockbusters we get today, like the Indiana Joneses of the world,
like,
and the
Nolan.
Jurassic Parks. Yeah, but Spielberg and Nolan...
And
George Lucas, I always say this, that Star Wars influence on film, like Star Wars itself is a great movie, but maybe its influence was, it did more harm than it did good, because so many Star Wars copycats came
Michael
out.
Bay.
Yeah, you got, yeah. Where do you, I mean, Michael Bay is, I don't want to say he's cut from the Spielberg cloth, but that's the natural progression of where film was going, so.
And I feel like it's this idea that.
So Scorsese, talk to your boy.
It's like, why don't these prestige directors can stick their toe into big budget blockbusters too and make some money? I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either. Like Barry Jenkins, he's doing Lion King too.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So I feel like they're just so like...
That's why it's weird. When these directors take shots at these movies, they're being made by filmmakers who are dedicated to their craft.
Yeah.
James Gunn, look at his filmography. He's done mostly blockbusters, but when you hear him talk about film and the films that he loves, it's not all blockbusters. It's international films, it's deep cut films, indie classics. So that's why it's always so weird.
Well, I think it's more of...
Because you have all these critics always interacting with these famous directors on Twitter, and they're like, oh, buddy, buddy, but then they'll complain about the state of cinema. It's just a little hypocritical to me.
Well,
it is what it is.
And it's, I mean, I get it, too. I mean, I'm not like, we obviously all love the Endgames of the world, but I mean, when you compare them to, I guess, a Fincher film, like Seven or Gone Girl or whatever it may be, it does seem like a different art form, and it is to the most extent, but I think that there is a level of creativity and directorial ability in those movies, too, that you can't just scoff at him. Like Endgame, it is what it is, but you're telling me that that's not a massive achievement to connect in 20 movies like that and have it so successful and be the highest grossing film of all time, and it being very satisfying to the fans of the franchise?
Right, and Marvel's success, like with Star Wars, we see all the copycats. How many cinematic universes have failed since the MCU came out? Everyone tried to recreate that magic and they haven't been able to, so that speaks to the uniqueness and the success of the MCU, that they had something that these other franchises didn't.
And obviously, I mean, that's probably not even what... Fincher didn't say that directly.
Well, this
and
is
it's
a problem
more
before
just,
the
yeah.
MCU. And people
so,
think
so I'm
that,
not saying, like, this is what Fincher said. He hates Marvel. But it's just a recent trend of, I don't know, the looking down upon these type of movies, which I get to a certain extent. They're not to the level of prestige cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these
they
directors,
can still be
too.
Very enjoyable. And the 80%, what do you say, 80% is what?
I really did paraphrase, but 80% is just mindless. Mindless cinema.
Yeah. That's
he didn't say mindless. He said something to that effect.
And 80% probably, I would say he's being a little too liberal with that.
Yeah.
I think 95% of the movies that come out are mindless cinema. But
and once again, I'll circle back. That's why I just love streaming. Because it seems like they're giving more freedom for these creators to make the stories that they want. I mean, I think the director that has had it the worst in this modern age is Guillermo del Toro. How many projects do you hear Guillermo del Toro is attached to that just never come to fruition? There's like a whole list. I think there's like 10 movies of del Toro's that haven't been made that have been either in production or close to production.
He seems like someone that...
He also seems like someone that's not willing to compromise on what he wants to do.
But it feels like his stuff should be more...
Well, the movies he's allowed to make are the ones that appear to be, like you said, more appealing to the general audience is Pacific Rim. So how many movies did he get turned down before he was like, I guess I'll just do Pacific Rim? And they're like, here's $300 million, Guillermo.
And Hellboy, but like...
Right.
Like Pan's Labyrinth, Shape of Water, like he gets, you know, he's very creative. And I think that would lend more to the general audience's kind of like what they would want to see.
His Pinocchio movie was the one that I'm most disappointed about, that it never came to fruition. Because Robert Downey Jr. was going to play... No, actually, no. Paul Thomas Anderson was going to do Pinocchio as well. And Robert Downey Jr. was going to play Geppetto. That would have been amazing. Well, Zack Snyder is here to save movies with the Justice League Snyder Cut black and white trailer. Same trailer that we got, but it's in black and white. Same song. And a better look at Steppenwolf.
There was more.
There was like three new shots on it.
Okay. What three shots?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Shooting.
Okay. I love this Steppenwolf upgrade. Someone quote tweeted it. It's like, which one's supposed to be the good one?
Yeah, it looked like a video game.
It looks shinier.
Well, that's the thing.
I think it does look a little worse.
That's the thing. Like, if Steppenwolf is still going to be your main villain, the movie's still going to, like, not be that great. Because Steppenwolf's fucking sucked.
This is going to be a true abomination.
That was the biggest problem, though, wasn't it? The Steppenwolf?
One of them. I mean...
We both liked the Justice League movie. We thought it was dumb
fun. Very flawed,
fun.
But
it's yes.
Mindless entertainment.
It was fun to see all those guys getting together, fighting the CGI Steppenwolf. I thought it was fun. It was very mindless.
Well, my favorite part was just Superman babying him at the end.
Yeah, Superman comes back and I'm a fan of Justice. It's corny. It's cheesy. I love that. And when he babies the entire Justice League.
It's great when the cheesy line is really cheesy. That's when it's great.
Yeah.
But you could tell it wasn't meant to be cheesy.
No, it was meant to be dead ass. Like, this is a badass moment.
That's even better.
Yeah, right.
So there's a ton of things to improve on that original movie. How much of that are you going to be able to do with the budget given? How much money did he spend on the $40 million to upgrade Steppenwolf's suit?
Right, and that's why it's going to be a mess because it's, what, six or seven parts, right, that it's releasing in? And now it's Deathstroke is going to be in there. Jared Leto's Joker is going to be in there. This is just going to be...
I think he got like 6 extra minutes.
Snyder doing everything he wanted to do over like 10 movies in one 7-part miniseries of a movie that already exists with this...
I'm excited.
Slightly improved CGI villain, even though I don't think it's an improvement at all. Yeah, no, I can't wait for this. Because I can't wait. This is going to be his masterpiece in the sense of it's going to be his worst movie ever. Like, this is going to be the Snyder magnum opus of just chaotic and incoherent filmmaking. This is going to be the one where I finally just throw a shoe at my television.
You think some people who
defend
Zack Snyder will... Like,
I'm gonna like it.
If it's really bad, they'll jump off the train like the Zack Snyder.
No, of course not. He's like Donald Trump.
Yeah,
they're riding for life.
Yeah,
I think there's so many people that invested in like into getting this to the point where we are now that it's like even if it sucks, I'm probably gonna be like, well, you know, they just let him do what he wanted originally.
Yeah, of course, right?
It would have been
that always works out with Zack Snyder.
I'm just excited to see like what's gonna happen. And what differences there are and just how out there he's going to go. Jared Leto Joker, I mean, awesome.
Yeah, and Deathstroke, I mean, how are you even going to fit all these storylines in together?
Jared Leto's Joker needed more than what's now going to be 10 minutes to be good. He needs, like, a movie about it to prove that that's, like, a good Joker. Because he only had, what, like, 2 minutes in the first one?
They really fucked him over, man. They gave him the 10 to 15 minutes of screen time in Suicide Squad, and then they made an entirely new Joker movie.
Yeah.
$1 billion, critical success, Oscars.
And now Zack Snyder thinks, what, 4 minutes is going to make that Joker any better?
Well, it's interesting because Jared Leto kind of has a cult of his own as well. Speaking of cults.
I love Jared Leto.
Oh, boy.
What?
Ted's drinking the Jared Leto Kool-Aid. Have you been to his island?
Yeah, I don't know where he's at.
He's got like a private island where he holds cult things.
Jared Leto?
Yeah, it's like midsummer, but Jared Leto. You guys haven't heard about this? Read into this shit, man. It's fucking
weird. I couldn't tell if you were being serious.
I swear to God, read into it. It's fucking
weird. You don't
believe
me, I don't think I would join that cult. I've long said I wanted to see what cult life's like. Not Jared Leto's cult on his private island. I'd rather get. I'd rather join Jim Jones's cult than that, to be honest. That sounds like a weird fucking place.
I think all cults are weird.
Oh, yeah, of course, but I kind of just want to, like. Can we turn Nerd Soup into a cult? That's what my plan was.
What?
Nerd Soup cult?
Cult Soup.
Cult Soup. That could be interesting. I've always wanted to gather up our followers and start a militia.
You know what? I want to try and do a meet and greet.
Before the
pandemic, I want to do a meet and greet and really see what our basis was like in, like, New York.
What'd you say?
Before the pandemic, I wanted to do a meet and greet. Not really do it, but it was just a thought to see what kind of, like, fan base.
So you wanted
to
do it.
I did want to do it, but right. I'm not saying that it was going to happen.
Rent out an AMC and
No, we get
people.
Messages sometimes like, hey, you guys got to do a meet and greet?
For what, 6 people that would show up?
That would be funny. No, I think Comic-Con we could get some heads, definitely. We've got a good number of fans in New York. I think we get like 10, 15 people, you know, chop it up.
We've met people at Comic-Con. It's like, oh, are you the...
Yeah, no, we were recognized, Teddy. Yep.
At what Comic-Con? Yep.
You didn't go to the last Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, dude.
Maybe you weren't there that day.
Oh, yeah, you only won one day. Okay.
Oh, no, well, that was before you even got in.
Work.
Because me and Bo got the press passes.
Oh, yeah,
we were stuck online
like
a regular.
You know, I'm starting to doubt that you guys tried and they said no. I don't think you guys tried to get me one.
You had to apply yourself.
Yeah, you had to apply yourself. You got denied. But your brother got in.
You said you were going to do it for me.
Your brother Vinny got in. He said he was working for the mayor's office.
Pretty much. That man finesses every system.
We have to get Vinny on a pod.
We could. Let's do it.
We really do because he's like Teddy, but...
More into comics and stuff.
Yeah. He's Teddy, but he's a bit more vicious.
Yes.
if you can believe that.
Vicious in a different way.
Yeah. More conniving, I would say.
No, I'm more conniving.
I don't think so. I think you strive to be as conniving.
Oh, actually, you know what?
Vinny.
He is more conniving.
Yeah, are you kidding
me? He almost shut down Best Buy's price match. There was a time when he abused it for DVDs and video games, price matching, and they almost shut it. They told him to stop.
Yeah.
Best Buy messaged him.
I remember you telling me about this, yeah. No, they really had to follow that shit, though.
They do. I did it with a laptop with Elena for her mom.
So you're learning. I can't wait to review this, though, the Justice League Snyder Cut.
Did you get the PS5 yet?
No, that's been a struggle. Been a big struggle.
Joe had the PS5 in his cart. And he was about to buy it, and Amanda freaked out on him, and he took it out.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people have been able to get it in their cart. They get to check out, and then they get the error message. So, yeah, it's been tough. You know, I did want to rant about this. Microsoft and Sony just... And also all these retailers not taking the necessary precautions to...
Extra stock? I don't know.
Yeah, the stock, but also to fend off these bots, man. Like, put on the verification, are you a robot?
Oh, yeah.
You fucking assholes.
I don't believe that stops robots.
It does. No, that's how you fend off bots.
I don't believe it.
A foolproof plan.
Why the hell don't you believe it?
It's ridiculous. A robot, a literal robot, doesn't know what a traffic light is?
It's a bot. It's something that's...
It's computerized.
So it's artificial intelligence.
Solo has these bots as well. Why do you think that no one's been able to get a PS5? Because they haven't put up these defenses.
I think they
So when you say a bot's buying it, though, who's buying it?
To make us feel
better.
It's
an individual. It's a bot. They have all these bots, and they get sent to different addresses.
Oh.
Yeah. Solhill does this. He's a reseller of sneakers, so he's always selling sneakers to my house. Sending sneakers to my house.
Is he really?
Yeah. So you better not sell those.
You should.
I think a 2020 bot can spot traffic cones. Fire hide. I can't even do them sometimes.
First of all. What do you have? You still have an AIM email, right? So your opinion on technology means nothing to me. Second of all, Sony and Microsoft, I understand they're still making money, but look out for your consumers, man.
Facts.
Like, I understand that people, I mean, I don't know if you should be arrested if you're a reseller or a scalper. Maybe Biden should look into that with an executive order.
I'm trying to make a buck.
How do you not mass produce, though, to be ready for this? I feel like they weren't even ready for this. I feel like they got caught with their pants down with the fucking, unless, does this always happen?
It's an old business tactic, Ted. You want
I guess, right?
Yeah, the demand right now is...
Tom Haverford.
Fucking crazy.
Tom Haverford saying no to potential clients saying we're all booked just to create more of
That subplot of Parks and Rec is just fantastic.
No, that actually
happened
in... Speaking
of Parks and Rec, one trivia the other day, not a big deal.
You went to the post office?
Local.
No, local?
Yeah.
How shitty was it? I went to the Schitt's Creek one, and the guy had like 4 wrong answers. It was horrible. He knew nothing about Schitt's Creek.
No, the host was terrible. He didn't know anything about Parks and Rec,
yeah.
Which I was insulted by, but...
Same. But I don't like what they're doing.
That didn't stop me from running the clinic.
Dude, when you do trivia, your first thought should be, you're as a team, you're writing down the answers, and now this trivia is on your phone, one person holds the phone, and it's the quickest one to answer the question. That's the stupidest thing ever. It was miserable.
Sounds like you didn't win.
I didn't win. But I got into a fight with Elena about it because I was hogging the phone, because they weren't answering quick enough. They were discussing the question. Like, you gotta be quick.
Right.
And then we got into a fight about it.
It sounds like you need to cut the dead weight, cut the dead trivia weight.
You might watch as well be a one man team. I love Schitt's Creek, dude.
You never talked about it.
Ted's I'm surprised by the things that he's seen. You know, it's like in Parks and Rec when they're trying to crack that riddle.
Yes.
And Andy knows what it is.
Talking to a one-time Parks and Rec trivia.
Andy knows what the device is.
Yeah.
And Ben's like, how do you know what that is? He's like, I know stuff.
That's like Schitt's Creek. They did the panic room. Oh, no, the escape room. And Alexis, she's like the ditzy Bond.
Okay.
She nails every escape room question.
One of my favorite jokes when he's like, it's like, yeah, like in Camp David. Ben's like, how do you know what Camp David is? And later, as it got away, he's like, yeah, me and my friends used to hang out in my friend David's backyard. We'd
call Camp David.
Wait, back to that point that you said about
I would like to be hosted at Camp David.
To get more, like, to make it look like you're popping. The Office, I was listening to a podcast. The Office, before it was, like, struggling to get on the air. And the guy who had the idea to bring The Office to the U.S. was calling networks. And saying that everyone's saying yes.
Oh, right, yeah.
Meanwhile, everyone said no to him.
That's what we need to do when we go to Netflix and pitch the Nerd Soup movie.
It's like Frank when you're trying to do the luau. Yeah. And he pits the two big salesmen against each other.
That's
hilarious. HBO Max already said yes.
Right, yeah, Netflix, yes.
Hulu's ready to sign on the dot.
And Hulu then Netflix literally still denies us. We just hung up with Hulu.
Yeah. What was that, Mr. Hulu? Oh, you want to produce our movie?
$10 million?
Wow.
Well, I'll see.
10 million Bitcoin for the Nerd Soup movie.
Bitcoin's on the rise.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually about to check my Robinhood account. We have any more stories? Aaron got upset the other day because I texted him, you still got Ripple? And he thought that this was like, this was it. This was the I'm rich text.
Bro, I hate those texts when he says that to me, dude. It's the worst.
Yeah, I checked feeling. I'm expecting to drops. Think like, yo, this shit skyrocketed. It went down.
Yeah.
But it actually went up recently too, so.
No, Bitcoin has been going absolutely nuts.
Well, we have the Johnny Depp. He's
I guess
2 week hiatus. Fantastic Beasts.
He's lucky he's off that.
Who is it? Mikkelsen.
Oh yes, right, Mads Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm.
Mads Mikkelsen is taking over and going to play Grindelwald. I think that's actually that's a great replacement. I'm not a huge Johnny Depp fan. I don't think he's a great actor. I think he was very miscast in this role. The movies have been.
Oh yeah.
It's not his fault. The movies have been. The first one's like. Okay, it's the worst out of the Harry Potters. The second one, somebody I follow on Twitter had a great explanation of, not explanation, a great review. It was like, this movie was Johnny Depp vaping out of a skull and predicting the Holocaust. That's really all it is, that movie. It's terrible. What, arguably like a 1 out of 10 for me if I had to rate it.
Well, he's still getting paid, so that's like sick for him. Because he's technically shot a scene already, and that fulfilled his contract.
Yeah, that is good for him.
Was this like a mutual parting of ways, or was this a reaction to all like his personal Amber Heard stuff?
That's the thing. The personal stuff with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp has been so controversial because now it's flipped. Now the public is convinced that Amber Heard has been the abuser. She's been the domestic abuser, and Johnny Depp's been the victim, and that she kind of smeared him.
But I've been, like, reading different things. I feel like I could be wrong, so if I am, I'm sorry, but I feel like it's just both of them. Like, both of them are
You're like, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but both of them are criminals.
Well, no, because
It seems like a very toxic relationship.
Yeah.
That they had some serious issues.
Because then it flipped, and it seems like Johnny Depp was innocent and everything, and those were a lot of the takes, and then, like, after that, it was like, no, well, they both kind of, like, he still did all this shit. Well, so I really don't know where we stand now.
I think the Johnny Depp Amber Heard
bad relationship
situation it's similar to almost the Tiger Woods situation, where the media and the public need to understand when it's not their business. And I understand that, obviously, we want to be against violence against anyone. Domestic violence is a huge problem in this country. But, like you said, so many conflicting reports have came out, and the lawsuits that he was, I forget the name of the magazine that he lost, the libel case that described him as a wife beater. And so people they use that to say that he's an abuser, that Amber Heard was right. And then, like you said, then people say, no, Amber Heard is the one that's hitting him. Or
like he had like,
it's just like
a finger, part of his finger was missing. And then, but there's things of him like doing shit.
Right. But and a lot of this, when a lot of this came out, the Fantastic Beasts franchise decided to keep him on.
Well, yeah, they took a lot of heat in the beginning.
But yeah, no, I don't know if it was a mutual parting or if he was fired, but like you said, he still gets his money.
I think he was let go.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not excited about this franchise's future. I'm also not excited about Johnny Depp's future because, like I said, I'm not a big fan of Johnny Depp, so
I think
it's another one of those, it is what it is, right?
I can't believe they're still happening. I thought they were done doing those. the Fantastic Beasts.
Well, they do make money.
Because aren't these movies supposed to go to like 2030?
Yes. Well, it's supposed to be a 5-part series. And eventually, the name is no longer going to be Fantastic Beasts.
Well, yeah.
Calling the second one Fantastic Beasts was just stupid because there's no Fantastic Beasts in it. It's just Johnny Depp vaping out of a skull and predicting the Holocaust. That's what my good friend said.
Do you like Eddie Redmayne?
No. He's not very good in anything. I mean, he was good in The Theory of Everything.
Yeah.
But he was noticeably not great.
I thought he was okay in
Chicago 7.
I thought he was good.
The accent, eh.
I think he's a very good actor, but I don't like him as Newt Scamander.
Well, he just sucks as a character.
Yeah.
Harry Potter's always kind of had that problem where some of their characters are just very one-dimensional. He's just there to be quirky and weird and awkward and say spells. And like I said, eventually he's not even going to be the main character. They want to make this a Dumbledore Grindelwald movie, which it should have been since the beginning. Like, if you want to tell the Dumbledore Grindelwald story, and casting Jude Law was an absolute waste in that second movie. Dumbledore, once again, he's in the shadows. He can't fight. He can't do anything. Wow, haven't we seen this before? Dumbledore not wanting to do anything? So, yeah, like I said, it's not a franchise that I'm very excited about, and I think a lot of people have become less excited for this franchise as well.
Which is a shame, because I would have loved the Dumbledore origin story. That was good.
Yeah, Dumbledore is such a great character.
I mean, you could have got, like, if they just scrapped Newt Scamander totally and just started with the Dumbledore and Grindelwald relationship before the falling out, and built up into this kind of feud between them, that would have been awesome. But no. Here's Eddie Redmayne and his sidekick.
Right, you know what I wanted?
Chasing beasts.
I do like the guy who plays the Baker.
Before Harry Potter.
I like his accent.
I want no more Harry Potter. I don't want to... No more. They had such a good run with those 8 movies. The book series as well.
That's crazy, bro. 8 movies.
Yeah, no,
that's insane.
I think it's very underrated.
It is.
Underappreciated how good those movies were. You don't really get Marvel, obviously, with their 22, but before Marvel, Harry Potter walked.
There was no bad Harry Potter movie, really. They were all
I think they're all acceptable for, like, when they were made and how they were, what they were trying to do. Like, the first two are probably the worst, but for as a kid seeing them.
That's like nostalgia now, if I watch it.
They were targeted for kids. I think that's perfectly...
Yeah, those first two are old school kids movies, man.
It got dark real quick once it got...
They went PG-13 Goblet of Fire was their first PG-13 one.
Right. No. I think Azkaban may have been the first PG-13 one.
Okay.
Which is the third one.
Well, they built up to that.
It's
like they increasingly got darker, as you could see with the logo for the movie.
That is true.
By the last one, which is the black screen.
Right, yeah. It's just nothing. It's like shit's bad.
I'll take a rated R Harry Potter.
you'll throw any idea that comes to your head out.
Yeah.
Harry Potter 50 years ago, and also it's rated R.
Harry Potter, that's actually not terrible.
You got Voldemort and Tom Riddle? Are you kidding?
Well, Tom Riddle, when you go into his origin story, that's the thing. J.K. Rowling is clearly, she's very creative and she has her genius, but there are some characters where she didn't think things through. Like, she's created characters, and when you really start to think about them, it's like, ugh, it's a little icky. Like, Voldemort's origin is strange, to say the least.
What'd he do?
It's not about what he did, it's about what his mom did.
It goes deep like that?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
But you guys want to go to fan questions? Now you guys are thinking, what did Mama Voldemort do?
I might read the book.
It's like, what?
More on the Wikipedia. just kidding.
I kind of always thought it was like a Hitler situation. Like, he tried to get into, like, painting or whatever, and they said no. So he's like, oh, I'm just going to kill all the muggles.
Well.
Or the mudbloods.
Well, looks like mass genocide's up next.
No, Voldemort never painted. Musician. Yeah.
Clarinet?
No. Yeah, clarinet. And then when he lost his nose, he couldn't play anymore. Just had to use SpongeBob.
That's for the fan to decide.
Yay! People, you call up to the show, you better be ready. That's what you're supposed to do. Sitting there arguing and trying to spell your name and all of this other stuff. It's not your show, it's my show. I'm giving you the opportunity to speak your mind. Don't call up here unless you got something to say.
This question here from Trey at CW_Riley3. If your favorite working director allowed you to cast the leads in their next film, who would you cast? For example, I would love to see Adam Driver in a Tarantino movie. I think that's actually a pretty good casting. Yeah, I think he would fit right in. Adam Driver is one of those actors who's done such a great job of picking movies. But I think that's a good choice.
I could see him in a Tarantino movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he was in Logan Lucky a few years back, and strong Tarantino vibes with that. Yeah, it was good, right? Yeah, he was very good in it. Yeah.
I'd like to see Greta Gerwig kind of do something different. Maybe cast Chalamet or Saoirse Ronan. I think they would really thrive in her visions.
I can't see that working out.
No?
No.
All right. Maybe a Villeneuve maybe gets Gyllenhaal. I think that's a good pairing.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I'm surprised they have... No, they already did Enemy together and Prisoners.
Speaking of Gyllenhaal, doing a Michael Bay movie. Well, that seems awful.
He's got to be low on his funds then. Gyllenhaal's been living too good.
No, I think...
I would like to see, I've always said this, Ryan Reynolds in a Tarantino movie. Because I think Ryan Reynolds is a guy who, unlike Adam Driver, has done a horrible job at picking movies. And I think he is a talented actor. I think a lot of times he's playing just Ryan Reynolds. But he's similar to Robert Downey Jr., where that is a skill. Being that charismatic, being able to carry movies on your own. And he's really never gotten a good movie to really sink his teeth in and to show off his chops.
I would like to see, speaking of Tarantino, Michael Shannon in like a spaghetti western Tarantino movie.
It's just all Tarantino. It's so funny. I really would love to see every actor ever in a Tarantino movie.
He brings out like different, like...
They're just fun.
Even Leo, it's like that's a role he's never done or anything like that before. And just his style, and even if all the actors, like even in Once Upon a Time of Hollywood, it's just, I don't know, he brings out a different side of to actors. I think Samuel L. Jackson is at his best when he's with Tarantino. I think Brad Pitt is at his best when he's with Tarantino.
He lets actors do them.
Well, it's always, that's the movie that you want to act in, the right. Tarantino script. It's so much fun. The characters are so colorful. You know you're going to have some, that you're really going to go places in some of these scenes, that you're going to have a chance to show off your skills. I think Scorsese's got a lot of that in him as well. When he gets his hands on certain actors, they really shine. Whereas in other films, they don't shine as much. I'm trying to think of who else of working directors today.
I want to see Taika Waititi and Jake Gyllenhaal. Those two both think outside the box all the time.
Well, Taika Waititi's a solid actor. He's going to be in Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah. So is Sylvester Stallone. That was another news story.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
In Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Yeah, Suicide Squad.
All right. Thanks for the question. So everyone in Tarantino movies. This question here from Gregory at CR_egg. What's the best present you've ever received? Childhood and adult life.
PlayStation 2. I nearly shit my pants when I got it.
Man, those times were good times, man.
The PSP was a big one, which I snuck into my parents' closet and found it before Christmas. I thought that was going to be a lot better than it was, but that was
we need
a
PSP
cool
now. That's what we need.
I have such a...
It's called the Nintendo Switch.
Vivid... Yeah, we need PlayStation, though. Portable.
I have such a vivid memory of...
Yeah, the Vita was a very big hit.
My best Christmas ever when I got just a bunch of superhero action figures. And I just remember I'm almost getting like sad thinking about it because of how depressed I am now, thinking of how happy I was as a kid just to get action figures.
I remember one year, I don't know if my parents like just had a really good year financially.
They invested in Apple.
But there was one year.
They got
year,
you a
like,
boat?
It might have been the PSP year where I just got fucking blessed with Christmas presents.
You were Timmy Turner.
Yo, it was PSP games. My brother got a PlayStation. Like, it was just a miracle.
It was one year I got a
and now
gas
I just
moped.
Got like a fucking, I got boots last year, which is a very nice.
Right, yeah,
boots.
No, and it's an adult. It's every time someone gets me socks, I'm like, thank you.
And all I said is like, oh, you want gift cards? I'm like, yeah, Fandango, because I go to the movies. I get a Fandango Now gift card. It's not the same thing.
I got a moped and my brother broke it the same day. It was a guest one too.
Those were the best Christmases. You get something, you automatically break it.
Yeah.
I think we've
Same
all done
day.
That.
Then you leave all the gifts down like downstairs for the day. You got to bring them upstairs and sort them out in the room.
I think my grandparents, too, my mom had a rivalry. Not like contentious, but I would go there for Hanukkah. And I would always like brag, like, oh, I got some good stuff here. Trying to like up the stakes a little.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, remember last year? Grandma got me fucking 3 video games. What are you going to do this year, Mom?
That is, I was always very jealous of those who were able to celebrate both Christmas and Hanukkah.
It's not double presents, Josh. That's a misconstrued, and I kind of said that earlier, but if my whole family was one religion, then I would still get those presents, but it's just separated.
This question here from Amy at Book... Thank you for clearing that up. From Amy at Book Sheet Geeks. What moment in a movie or TV show shocked, surprised you the most? Well, I have two. Leo's death in the Departed. I'll just always remember how fucking shot that was in the movie theater.
Yeah, seriously.
And obviously there are so many moments in Game of Thrones, but the first one that I'll always remember is just Ned Stark being killed, because it was shocking because of the way how it was dragged out. Because it takes forever It's like, I'll flip his head. And it's
I thought Arya was going to save.
I was like, okay, Arya's going to do something, chop.
I texted you the second it happened, and I was like, they really just bounced Ned Stark like that.
And of course, Rob.
Yeah.
Probably the two greatest deaths in TV history, I think, by far. Mm-hmm. Ned and Rob.
You know what's weird? The thing I got most mad about when I read was Arya going blind. I don't know why, because in the show, it's very, like, whatever. But in the book, when I read that, I was just like,
this is too far.
I was just like, didn't they go through enough?
Yeah. I think with reading, you can feel that way. Because
a couple of like off the top of the head was when John killed Janice Slint. I feel in the book that was just such a great moment. The purple, the pink letter was so much better in the book.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking up deaths right now just so I get a refresher on some. And one that was big was Hereditary when her head got chopped off.
Oh, hell yeah.
My mouth dropped for like,
dude,
15 seconds.
What's burned in my head is Alex Wolff's reaction when he's driving and he knows what happened.
When
and
he goes
just
home,
can't
bro.
Look behind
oh
him.
God.
And he's like shaking, holding the wheel. He's like, my little sister's head just got taken off.
Bro, that I can't. I
oh,
that
I'm getting
might
chills
be a
just
movie.
Thinking about that.
Oh, I would go full crazy and be like, pretend nothing happened.
That might be a movie where I'll never watch again.
Yeah, dude, that's a horrifying fucking movie. A lot of people think Midsommar's better.
I think it's a very they're different, but I appreciate both of them.
Did you ever see Midsommar?
No.
This question here from Kane at Kane the Stranger: who carries the team in Warzone? Well, you two have played together, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we have with shoddy snipes, but the sniper in the box, sniper in the box.
Yeah, you guys both would.
I won
the gulag,
once, not
right?
with Teddy.
The gulag, what'd you say?
I've won, but not with Teddy.
Yeah. You know what? I'm thinking about. Yeah, we might as well bring it up now. We're all on the same team, right? I might start streaming Warzone.
Cool.
You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
All right.
It's your life.
Where are we going to stream it from? Just your own Ted Twitch?
Yeah, I'm going to buy New Elgato, and I'm going to stream it. I'm hardwired into my game now.
You're not going to be able to stream with your laptop.
Oh, yeah. You have the worst Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
and
the Wi-Fi.
No. I'm hardwired in now. I'm good now.
Mm. I still need to go and check your speeds.
I mean,
you better
MLB the show?
No. You're that meme. It's like motherfuckers buy the PS5 just to have 2K and FIFA in their library.
I'm that meme.
Yeah.
I
can't. You guys probably aren't going to get the PS5, right?
I'm not getting it for a year. I'm waiting for all the bugs to get out and new consoles.
You guys shouldn't. Just stick with your PS4s. You guys don't game. You guys don't appreciate the true cinematic games that these systems. Actually, that's a mistake. You do. You don't.
What do you mean?
Did you play Red Dead?
Yes.
Did you? You played Red Dead 2? You beat it?
No.
Okay. Did you play GTA? You play Tsushima?
Oh, by the way, terrible topic you put in. GTA 5 map update?
That's a big topic. Yeah, because you haven't played GTA. Oh, what? Terrible topic for the best-selling game of all time, right? The number one piece of art in terms of money generated?
What's the new map? Will they add a city?
Have you even seen the old map?
No.
Okay, so don't be all Mr. Oh, I don't care about GTA because I haven't played it.
What town are they in, though? In GTA.
They're in L.A. They're in Los Santos.
Is it always Los Santos?
You guys
City.
Are fucking hard.
I don't play GTA. Never have it.
Yeah, Liberty you guys City. Are both anti-GTA.
I'm not anti-GTA. I just don't care for it.
I was always walking on you playing golf in GTA.
That's being anti-GTA.
Can you still pick up prostitutes?
Yes, of course.
That was like a cool thing to do when you were like 12.
If you I ever play GTA, I go on a mass killing spree.
You can't decapitate people. This question here from Lucky Chris, 02 at Chris Mayoral. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Corn.
Mac and cheese.
I saw another question Thanksgiving related to. I think that was a good one, too. But
answer this one.
Stuffing. The stuffing, when you get a little mashed potato on it,
you don't
it
like
too.
Stuffing?
I like stuffing, but the favorite?
It's so good.
I think stuffing is
when you get a little corn, gravy, mashed potato.
Answer. Yeah, yeah.
Corn
stuffing is
all in that one.
Pepper, butter,
it's the
ketchup.
Glue, ooh. I think, stuffing. It you really, don't want too much, too little.
Well, someone asked too, was like, what would you replace as turkey? And I think literally any meat, because turkey is fucking trash.
I'm not the
I don't think turkey's
fan of turkey
trash.
It's good, but it's like
it's
not.
So
I'm good
popular
for a couple
now
pieces.
To hate on turkey.
They're better
it's,
meats. No. Chicken. Yeah, chicken would be so much better.
My grandma
no,
makes
no, no,
chicken
no.
Cutlets,
how much?
Bro?
How many times do you have chicken a year?
I'll eat chicken
the turkey
every day
is
because
for
it's
Thanksgiving.
Better. If turkey was good, people would eat it year round.
Turkey tastes like sand.
Turkey is the Jerry Seinfeld of Thanksgiving.
I'm out
of not
it.
As funny good. As George, not as good looking as Elaine, not as wacky as Kramer, but it holds the Thanksgiving dinner together.
Turkey is good, and there is a place for it. Sandwiches, you get maybe go to the diner, get like a little open turkey.
Wait, it's you act like you're forced to eat the turkey. Like, not you guys gonna, don't have to eat turkey.
You are you have to eat turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you take a little turkey.
It's good.
Yeah.
Not the best meat, though.
But it's not there to be the best meat. It's there to, it's the symbol. It symbolizes the day.
So what is the best meat, then, on Thanksgiving? Ham?
Nice ham, yeah.
Yeah. Ham is the best.
I don't love turkey, I mean.
Ham? I don't know.
You want a giant chicken in the middle of the Thanksgiving table? Everyone just
multiple chickens. Give everyone a Cornish game hen.
I'm chicken nuggets.
I'm deep frying this year, turkey.
Oh, make some, like, steaks.
You're deep frying the turkey?
Yeah.
See, that would probably be good.
It is.
nice piece of fish. Come on.
Do you guys have mac and cheese at your Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I take a smattering of everything.
But it's like, that's not a white people thing, right?
It's a bland mac and cheese.
Dude, our mac and cheese at Thanksgiving? Ooh.
With breadcrumb on the top, toasted.
Yeah.
All right, guy. Acting like you broke the fucking
My mom tried, and I respect the effort. With the breadcrumb and everything.
I'm Italian, guy.
You got to export that from a Puerto Rican or a black family, yeah. We'll hook you up. We'll send you some.
We have a casserole.
Imports.
Yeah.
Oh.
A green bean casserole.
The apple pie after is the topping.
You know Dragonfly Jones on Twitter? He made the point the other day that potato salad is just the worst.
That's a hot take.
I think I agree with that. It's just awful.
I love potato salad.
What is it? Mayonnaise and potatoes.
Mayonnaise,
and other
pepper.
Ugh.
Potato.
Yeah, you guys.
A mac celery. Salad. Oh, don't tell me you don't like a good mac salad.
Some little red pepper in there.
Yeah, you guys. That needs to be scientifically examined.
I hate when you go on like Twitter and you see other people's plates that look so much better than yours.
Yeah, that does happen a lot.
I hate going on Twitter or Instagram and seeing people's like Thanksgiving Day dinners, and it's like 10 times better than what I'm looking at.
Mac and cheese, and they scoop it off, and you see the cheese.
I game day prep for that mac, though, after.
This question here from local cryptozoologist at A Gaines 40. Do you have any thoughts on the new Tom Holland Daisy Ridley movie? I saw maybe 10 seconds of a snippet of it. It looks terrible.
What's it called?
I forget, but it's been in production forever. It was supposed to come out, I think, last year.
Is it out?
Maybe. No, I think it's coming out. They just dropped a trailer. I think it was the first look. And it didn't look great. Poor Daisy Ridley, man. Hasn't really, she was in the detective movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not a big role, though.
Train Killer?
Yeah. Midnight Express. Polar Express. Sorry. I hope she's a Tarantino movie. Get Daisy Ridley in a Tarantino. There you go.
Why do you think some people post-franchise are able to break out while others are just stuck?
I don't know, because she's talked about how she doesn't get a lot of calls. She auditions all the time, and that she was like, nobody will cast me in anything. And it's been very frustrating for her. I don't know. I think sometimes people have it in their heads that this is an actor who only succeeded with the one role.
We've seen the flip now, I think. Where established actors are going into franchises and just getting a shit ton of money. But it's hard when you start out. Like, look at, like, Emma Watson's really the only one that broke out of the Harry Potter.
Wycliffe had a good little run.
Yeah, he did. He did have a nice, like, 5 to 7 year indie movies.
Who?
Some horror movies. Radcliffe.
Yeah.
I think he's an actor who's destined to come back around. Radcliffe is a guy where I can see him starring in some random indie movie and being nominated for an Oscar. Like, that's something that wouldn't surprise me. Because he is talented. And
why am I blanking on the name? Lighthouse. Fuck's his name?
Pattinson?
Yeah. I was surprised to see Pattinson make a crazy breakout after Twilight. I thought he was going to be...
Took him a while.
I thought he was going to die on Twilight.
A very long time. Dakota Johnson took a long time. Kristen Stewart took a long time.
Yeah, the Pattinson
Dakota
one is...
from 50 Shades, but that's kind of like a comparable, but...
I feel like Pattinson's like an underdog story, like where he went after Twilight.
Yeah, if you would think of one guy who would never get cast in anything ever again,
Tyler Lautner
think.
Isn't getting casted.
Right.
Well, he's... I mean...
I don't think he's as good as an actor. Yeah, you can watch those original Twilights and see, okay, Pattinson does have some chops here.
Yeah.
No, he's done a really good job. This question here from Tony Soprano's Gabagool. Sorry, Teddy. At Satirial Spork.
I got ripped on for that, too, by the way.
It's actually a question for you.
Everyone. I got a lot of messages about that.
Because it was a ridiculous take.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. He wants you to rank the Eminem albums.
Oh, that's tough.
Can we end on something else?
Ranting on that?
I don't know if I'm exhausted or about to run through a brick wall right now.
Yeah, I don't want to rank all the Eminem albums. Let's just do the top three. Marshall Mathers LP.
That's number one, yes. Slim Shady, number two.
Slim Shady,
and
the Eminem
Music
Show.
To Be Murdered By, number three.
Oh, God.
I absolutely love that album.
Let's take one more.
Listen to it. You gave zero chance to Marshall Music To Be Murdered By. I had to force you to listen to one song on that album. And you still won't listen to it. Give it a chance. You might like it. It's lyrically amazing.
Oh, I have a lot of controversial... I've got even more hot takes about Eminem that I don't even want to start a fight, so I'll just keep that to myself.
I'm not gonna entertain that statement what you just said.
I feel fucking weird right now. I'm like exhausted but wired at the same time.
You're only halfway done, and it's been, what, we got an hour and a half?
It's more than half done.
You're at halfway right now.
It was a large, and you know the little small part on the bottom isn't as big as the top.
And you probably yoked that up with ice, too. So, and you can't even finish that.
This question here from Samir Golconda.
I didn't make it. The guy put the ice in.
A question that we've probably answered a million times. Villeneuve or Nolan? Quick.
Villeneuve.
We met in high school, and we... Oh, no. It's a different question. It was a joke because we always get X'd too. Villeneuve.
Stop stalling.
Yeah, Villeneuve. All right, guys, that is the Nerd Soup podcast for this week. Thank you for joining and listening to us talk about the world of movies, video games, TV, all the good stuff. No GTA, though, because these guys haven't played GTA. It's very disappointing. And we will be back next week. Actually, no, we'll be back in a couple of days. We'll be back on Monday, because this Sunday we are recording our Mimosa Chronicles podcast.
I'm dreading that.
Finally, what time are we doing that?
I'm dreading that. God, I want to drink, man.
I have softball with playoffs later in the day.
I don't care.
Oh, saying, round two starts, what were we going to do, 2 days? You guys want to make a bracket, like a better one?
No, we need to make an official bracket, a spruced up bracket.
I don't know what your affectionation, I don't know what word.
Fascination?
Affection?
Because you got this rinky-dink bracket that you took.
What's rinky-dink
on your computer
it?
And you like took a picture of it with your Polaroid and you printed the Polaroid.
What'd you
and
want
you,
me
like,
to do?
Faxed it to the internet.
Fucking scan it?
It looks like it's in like
put 30, some effort into
360p. It. Yeah, it looks like, and he was like, oh, if I had a pen and paper, I would have just drew it. Like, what are you
It's
nuts?
Like, oh, best movies of all time. First round matchup out of 100. Goodfellas versus Godfather. That's a championship matchup. And you
I didn't have there was like
there
three
was no way to create that bracket.
Yeah,
I could have
lay off me, guy. If I come over there
it.
And spear you.
But all the matchups were
could you spear me.
I would spear you.
All the matchups were lopsided. It's not like every matchup was like neck and neck.
By the next way, round's gonna be neck and neck.
I love our followers and listeners, but there are some questionable decisions.
Well, I mean,
is the rival still losing?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
I shouldn't lose. That's sad.
It's down 8 points to the Dark Knight Rises. Please, if you listen to this podcast,
hey,
go to this
poll. If Aaron
poll.
Retweets it, maybe you'll get better fucking results
I
out of
it. I tried it with the favorite. It didn't work.
This poll, it's ridiculous, because if the votes for the Dark
Joker's
Knight...
Joker's going to win.
Parasite's winning.
If these votes for the Dark Knight Rises didn't count, then a rival would be winning this.
No way.
I'm saying, like, if you just didn't... All right, guys, what see you next week.
What were you saying?
I'll make it an electric.
I'll leave the mics on. Let's see if Teddy can figure it out.
Well, would you look at that? It's finally over. Hey guys, Bo Oliver here for one final send-off. Now, before I beg you guys to like and share this video, I'd like to thank our very special Patreon pledgers. We are very proud of the community we've been able to build here at NerdTube, and it would not have been possible without our Patreon supporters. You guys are the true MVPs of this channel. Everything I've said, you keep the fridge full, you keep the lights on. There aren't enough words to thank you guys, but we'll do it anyway. Thank you. And we have a few videos coming up that have been suggested to us by Patreon pledgers. My Hero Academia, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Full Metal Alchemist will be reviewed by Marissa and yours truly, and Castlevania, which will be reviewed by Marissa and Aaron. And if you'd like to consider donating to our Patreon page, you can visit patreon.com/nerdsoup and check out some of the rewards we offer to our listeners. And really, we'd like to thank everyone who takes the time out of their day to watch our videos. Patreon pledger or not, your support is what keeps us motivated to keep giving the world our opinions on movies and TV shows and video games and pop culture, even though no one asked for it. We're still here, we're still yapping, and we hope you continue to join us. I'm Bo Oliver, and I support this message.